Do you remember that story I did on you when I pulled the VHS copy, I took over the screen in the dressing room, and I played your, was it Police Squad?
Cold Squad. Cold Squad, buddy. Cold Squad, my last gig ever.
Yeah.
Police Squad was it would have been Naked Gun. It would have been Burt Nordberg.
Burt was more of a comedic actor than a serious actor. I remember I played that. Jovo stopped to look at it. And you know what the big movie was back then? Was like Scooby-Doo. And I was trying to give you props, and Jovo wasn't buying it. And, man, you were not playing along with me in the scrum that morning. You wanted every hockey question, but nothing to do with movies. Boy, times have changed.
Slept on the wrong side of the bed on that one, bud.
That's all right.
Well, hey, listen, where to jump in? I guess it is unbelievable.
Hey, do me a favor before we get started. Yeah. I just want to pay some respect to Alex Burrows for going to the Ring of Honor. That's something well-deserved for him. He did a lot for the community, a lot for the city, scored some big-time goals, and I enjoyed Burr. Playing against him, not so much, but him on our side, he ended up having a tremendous career when not a lot of people were thinking that at the point in time, and he worked extremely hard, and he did some great things for the city, and so I just want to tip my cap to Alex.
Have you got an Alex Burrows story, whether you guys were overlapped in camp or just playing against each other? I mean, he was known to be a pain in the A double cricket letter, but
he was quiet on the team. It's when he went out into that arena that he got wound up, and it didn't help that they had Kess and Juice, and they had all the Muppets going, and he just wouldn't shut up, wouldn't stop, and he didn't even have to say anything either, just come to the face-off. It's like back in the day, I don't know if you guys obviously remember, at face-offs, it was like a freaking war, and I look back, and I'm like, for what? I'm not even taking the face-off. I understand getting position on the guy to try to get the puck, but it was like two-hander in the back of the legs, two-hander on top. It was an elbow to the chin. It was some of the craziest face-offs ever, and he was really good at that. He'd get underneath your chin, just give you a little headbutt or whatever, but he was always a pain.
Well, and you know, the great thing is he understood what wearing the uniform was. He showed up with his family yesterday, and he went to Canuck Place just to say hi to the kids and all, and I think that's a big part of everything that the team likes to honor, too.
Well, that's the beauty of wearing that jersey and representing Vancouver. I know when we all went back, me, Nazzy, and Mo, were able to go back to the Canuck Place where we spent a lot of times when we were playing there and all that. And it's just something when you put on the jersey, that's part of what goes on and expected of you, and something that we all enjoy doing.
Well, and Bert, let me ask you this, because Lord knows you had a lot of Bertuzzi jerseys around the NHL as the career went. Did other teams do that, or are they unique in what Vancouver does in the community?
Well, I'm going to say every team does extremely well in that department about going out to the community and doing things. It seems that the Canuck Place and the Canucks are just, they're one. Like, that facility is an outstanding facility. And some of the most fantastic human beings I met there, whether we're going there at Halloween for pumpkin carving or whatever, it just seems that's one of the charitable things that we did in Vancouver that really stuck with me. And I was like, wow, that's really heads and above that this organization and this beautiful platform for people to go there and families to go there. In order to stay and feel welcomed and loved and all that, that in particular really stuck out with me in my NHL career through all my teams.
Todd Bertuzzi here on Sportsnet 650. You think you're Ring of Honor material one day?
I've talked to you guys about this and all that. That's for other people to decide. It's obviously how much impact did you have in the city and your popularity and what you did in your time frame when you were there. I was there for a good stretch and all that, and I believe I was pretty entertaining, and but that's not for me to decide. It's not going to make or break my life or who I'm at, but it's obviously a humongous accomplishment for players to go in that, and that's why I wanted to make sure that I spoke about Alex.
Okay, well, you know, and very respectful on your part. But that being said, you know, it's been 2 months since what you showed up and surprised the crowd. You surprised us. Didn't even want to tell us what was happening, and you get this massive pop, and it's amazing at that sort of return at Rogers Arena back in October. I still have people that come up to me and bring it up when they say, you know, hey, you know, Bert's on the show every Tuesday. Man, that was so cool to see him in that particular moment. Was that a reminder of maybe just what this market and the relationship you had with this market? And I mean, sometimes I guess you get numb at it. Right?
Yeah, I always felt loved by it, man. Like when I lived there for 9 years. It was a long time to live there, especially in your young 20s. But we have a lot of really good people who should be considered for it too. Ed Jovanovski, like another class act guy, a guy who we had a lot of guys who made a lot of impact in that community and in that rink. Like from where it was to when we all got there, that place was honestly, it's like we were a carnival touring around. It was, we had 40, 50, 60 fans out at 2 a.m. every city we went in, waiting by the airports or waiting by the hotels and all that. And I know that I spoke with Kess and Juice the other day. We had a conversation for a while, the three of us, and we're just talking about it. We're just like, man, we do not know how good of a team that we actually had and how much fun we had. And we all three of us were said, man, it was just disappointing. We couldn't do more with that squad that we had, especially with the Sedins emerging and all that. But it was nothing but good times and fun times. We told a lot of stories. We had a good time.
Yeah, when you're in it, do you realize how good you are?
No. I think other people remind you of that. And obviously, you have to be humble in our sport. It's the way we're brought up and the way we were. And it's obviously nice hearing good things about what you accomplished and what you did. But it's not something you really you live for and die for. I'm quite happy and content with my career and how everything went. And I'm just more than happy sitting back, retired. Like everyone always asks, how has it been since retired? It's actually been really nice. It's a lot less stressful. I don't have to travel as much. I can sit back and watch my kids grow up into adults. And I'm honestly having the time of my life right now.
You look at what's happened over the last week, and you talk about the West Coast Express era days, and, you know, here's Mark Crawford now on a leave of absence in Chicago, you know, former teammates, Johan Franzen, who you played with in Detroit, coming forward, sharing his experience with Mike Babcock. You've got Chris Chelios on the latest edition of Spittin' Chiclets. Bert, what do you make of everything that you've seen and heard over the last week here? Is this a good thing for hockey?
No, nothing is really good when it comes to this kind of stuff. There was a culture that existed in our sport, but now with players speaking out, this absolutely and should have never, ever have happened or shouldn't continue. And my focus is not only on the NHL level players who are speaking out, and I hope that this gets concluded and fixed the proper way. It also has to stop in minor hockey, and especially in the CHL. These are very vulnerable kids and vulnerable people. We got to learn how to speak better to people and how to treat people. And I'm really hoping with this coming out that the culture changes and changes for the right way and the right reasons for these young kids.
Yeah, Todd, I think most agree. Sometimes things happen and people let it happen, but I think this is a good conversation to have. More so, it's different when you're making millions, but it shouldn't be. But more so that kids and coaches on a minor hockey level, and boy, listen, I played minor hockey right up till I'm 16. Me and my buddies just said, okay, this peewee coach was a real hard ass, blah, blah, blah. I think it's a conversation that the game needs to embrace right now.
Well, it does. I just think everything's changing right now, and it's time that that we make changes in the positive direction. It's very difficult to become a hockey player. There was a culture that existed when I was little growing up from 4 years old all the way up. I was immune to all of it, and I was around all of it. It was just what it is. And a lot of the stuff would never be allowed in another workplace. So I don't believe that the NHL should be any different, the CHL, minor hockey or anything. I think that there needs to be a swift and quick move on this, and things need to be handled fast.
You know, it's just, you touched on it. There was a sort of acceptance of behavior when we were all younger, right? That you could kind of get away with acting and just being talked to a certain way I don't know. I mean, am I wrong on this one? I mean,
we talked about it in school.
You're not wrong. And unfortunately, this is a very sensitive time right now for everything. Everything is kind of coming out that's fresh. And I think everyone has to respect the due diligence that the league and the teams and everyone and the players are coming out that they have to do. But there needs to be a change. It was just hockey and sports where those kind of behaviors could happen only, and that shouldn't have been the case. It should have been nipped in the butt and handled right away. But it's hard. I grew up in that culture. I grew up in that environment. I am who I am because of that environment. You become very thick-skinned and able to handle a lot of adversity in life because of the culture that we were in.
You know, it's not just hockey, though, either. I think it's any sport. I've seen it on a soccer sidelines. You see it in lacrosse.
Think about social media. Bert, I don't know how much you're on social media, but, Per, like, we get venom thrown at us on social media. And, look, negativity, it sucks, right? Nobody wants to be told you suck or you know, you're terrible, you're the worst, whatever. But I'll tell you, like, over the years, you develop a thicker skin because of having your ass kicked when you're younger by whether it was a teacher, a hard-ass coach. And I'm not saying it justifies somebody punching or kicking or acting like a total a-hole.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there is that sort of shaping that, and it was, you know, and it's not just our generation. I would think, like, my dad's generation, like our parents' generation, that they had it even harder, where now there's...
I think you hit it on the head. Their generation is 1,000 times harder. Hey, listen, I love my dad more than anything in the world. I would never want another father. But my father was raised in that culture as being a hockey player and then later on being my coach. My dad was hard, like very hard at times. And that I believe that shaped me in order to handle all situations going forward. Was it right? I don't know. Was it wrong? It was just... our era. Are we going to sit here and point fingers at our parents that it was their parents' fault that this happened?
It's, well, if there was ever a time to get back at mom and dad, now's the time, Bert.
Yeah, like there's really, it's a never-ending conversation. It's like we can just go ahead and do it. All I'm saying right now is it's I feel terrible for all the players who are speaking out of it. I feel awful for them. I know probably a little bit of how they feel, and since I played 19 years, and I'm hoping that that they find peace or get what they need resolved out of it. And there's nothing wrong with them speaking out. Everyone's allowed to handle their situation the way they want to. Don't criticize how everyone is handling. Everyone's handling what they want to do, and it's not our choice to tell them not to handle it the way they want to do. It's just everyone has a voice. Everyone has an opinion. Be you. Use your voice to what you want to do in a platform.
Yeah, no, well said. Circling back to tonight, I said this kind of would have been a trap game to me, meaning the Canucks have played so much hockey on the road. They had to play the back-to-back. These guys are on fumes, and I think they're looking forward to a few days off finally. We talk about it. You've lived it. How difficult is it to be on the road, be exhausted, and come back and kind of have to play a one-off game before you know you go, thank goodness, we got a few days off coming down the road?
Yeah, the one-off games are really difficult, especially Vancouver Canucks get off to a great start and very consistent start. You can see it's funny. I remember Kenny Holland always telling me, you can tell out where your team's going to be by after American Thanksgiving. You can tell a lot by that. And all of the players' goal is like, just be as many games above 500 as you possibly can. So you know that you're headed in the right direction, not trending. There's nothing worse than going into there and knowing, jeepers, creepers, by Christmas we could be out of the playoffs and you have to play another 30 games that have no value and all that. So the good thing is that the Canucks have set themselves and put themselves in a very good spot. It's one of those games where you get your core group together, your captains, your assistants, and you preach in the room that you just, let's keep this simple, let's play smart, let's play hard defensively, and let's try to win this game 1-0 and get out of here and get some freaking rest so we can start charging again.
You know, Young Bertuzzi sounds like he would have been a lot of fun to hang out with during those rock star eras when 40, 50 people were hanging outside of hotels waiting for them. But like mature Todd seems like he's got really good perspective, Perry. I don't know who I'd rather hang.
Not,
I don't know who
I'm
I'd
not
rather hang out with.
Saying yes or no to either of those questions.
Boys, I've had a lot of time sitting on a bar stool to reflect and get better.
So you're more fun to hang out with now, then?
No, I would have been equal.
But a lousy TV cop.
Letting everyone know, drinking hills.
A lot of time at the bar to get better.
I can subscribe to that. I work in media.
Yeah, it does.
I'm with you, Bert. And you know what? Richard, also texting in on the Subway text line, 650-650. You rock, Todd. Ring of honor for sure. So there you go.
I appreciate the Vancouver fans. Like, I have some. I still keep in contact with a lot of them. So, one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And you know what? I just want them to have some success here and all that, to get the fans back in there jacked and all that like they have been. And you two have been doing a tremendous job, so keep it up.
Well, all we're asking, because we're always pushing you to the Ring of Honor, you and Jovo, yeah, is just when you do get there, if we could just walk on the red carpet.
I think we deserve it.
Joining Todd are James and Perry. That's all we want.
Drop the puck.
I would definitely include you in my little party.
Well, we'll see. Thanks for this. Hey, how was the turkey? Was it good?
Trust me, I've been freaking walking for 48 hours straight. I'm so full.
Meat sweats. Thanks, buddy. You take care over there.